All right, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. We got a really nice group of folks joining us. Hopefully we didn't confuse you too much this morning when you came in, and the chairs were a little bit different. There's no one or two anymore. We've just tried to socially distance to where you and your group could be apart a little bit from everybody else, but we're just allowing the chairs to be used for both services now, so we can accommodate a lot more people as more and more people get comfortable and coming back and joining us. Matter of fact, I quickly did a count here this morning, and I counted at least 140 people that were here, and we can accommodate, I think, if we can accommodate close to 200 people here in all of the seats. So we're glad that you are here this morning. Let's begin today our second part in our series, From the Forefront to the Background, a study of the life of John the Baptist. And today I want to start with talking about receiving gifts. Have you ever gotten more than you ever thought possible, more than you've ever asked for, more than you could ever imagine? Have you ever gotten a gift like that? You know, if you have, it is a great blessing, isn't it? A couple of weeks ago was Finley, our granddaughter's second birthday. And we went to the party over in Pittsburgh. They had it at this park. And as people came to the party, they put their gift on a picnic table. So when it came time to eat and everything, there was this picnic table, and it was just covered with gifts. So it came time for Finley to open her gifts, and her dad picked her up and just stood her up on top of the picnic table and said, "Have at it," you know. And it was amazing because she just went through bag after bag, box after box, from one end to the other, and you can imagine the excitement and the clamor as she opened each and every gift. Of course, she liked mine the best. It was the one that she slept with that night, because I wanted to get her exactly what she had wanted. You know, that's a good place to be, isn't it? And when you think about the story and the life of John the Baptist, it's really a story of getting all he ever hoped for, all he ever imagined. I was thinking about Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, and you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or can imagine." Let's think about Christmas for a minute. You know, for the most part, Christmas begins with the announcement of the birth of a baby, right? And when you ask people the name of the birth of that baby that began the announcement of Christmas, everyone always says Jesus. But actually, that would be wrong. It's not the birth of Jesus, it's the birth of John the Baptist. The Gospel of Mark begins the story this way: "The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet," which we looked at last week, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And then it says that John came baptizing. You see, the story of Christmas, it's not just the story of Jesus. It begins with the story of John. John was the precursor. He was the one that came declaring the birth of Jesus. He came to prepare the way. He came, and even though he was in the forefront, he stepped into the background so that the spotlight would be on Jesus. He is the one preparing the way. A matter of fact, if you take and think about the Gospel of John, and his story of the good news of Jesus, it's really written for us, first of all, in Luke, in chapter number one. And it's not just the story of John, it's the story of his father, Zechariah. And it's a story of his two greatest hopes and his two greatest disappointments. Here, listen to this beautiful word from Luke chapter 1. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. That was John's father. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands, all the requirements of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. When his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and he was overcome with fear. Verse 13, it continues, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and will never drink wine. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many hearts of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready the Lord a prepared people.' 'How can I know this?' Zechariah asked the angel. 'For I am old, and my wife is well along in years.' The angel answered, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which were fulfilled in their proper time.' Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them. Then they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was making signs to them and remained speechless. When the days of his ministry were completed, he went back home. After these days, his wife conceived and kept to herself in seclusion for 5 months. She said, 'The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace among the people.'" Now, folks, I don't know about you when you read that passage, but I'm amazed at this story. This is the beginning of the Christmas story. There was a man named Zechariah. He was given a great privilege. And here's the thing. All his life, he had prayed for this privilege. You noticed what it said, right? He was a priest. He was the tribe of Abijah, and he had prayed for many years that he could have the privilege of going into the holy place and burning incense. Now, notice what it says here, because his lineage was in charge, and on that morning there was a lot taken, and he had never had the privilege of doing this before, although this had been a great desire of his heart for his whole life. What you don't know is that they could only do this once in their lifetime, and that they stopped being considered for it when they turned 50 years of age. So here Zechariah was at the end of his time of service. And all of a sudden, finally, this one great desire that he had had was fulfilled. So imagine, he goes into the holy place, only 2 feet from the Holy of Holies. But he goes into the holy place to burn incense. And while there, he is visited by an angel, not just any angel, but the angel Gabriel. And I thought it was interesting that Gabriel says to him that your great desire has been fulfilled. Of course, Zechariah was only thinking about the opportunity to burn incense. And then the second thing out of the angel's mouth is what? Oh, and by the way, you're going to become a dad. Of course, Zechariah does what most of us would do. He wondered, he doubted, he questioned what the angel was saying, and that was the reason that the angel said that you will not be able to speak until this comes about. You see, here's Zechariah, almost 50 years of age, maybe already 50 years of age. We don't know for sure. The text simply says that he was along in years. I don't know, I kind of felt along in years at 50, did you? Some of us are even longer in years now. But here this opportunity was before him that he thought was going to pass. He never won. His opportunity was almost over. I'm sure he felt like that he was a loser. But then here he was in the holy place, there just to the side of the table of showbread, with the golden lampstand right there beside him. And he was lighting the incense. Symbolically, he was releasing the prayers of God's people to God. Zechariah only had one other great hope, and that was that he wanted to be a father. And here it was, think about it, when it says that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. And here God not only answered his prayer to allow him to perform these priestly duties, but he also told him that he was going to have a son. Just a few days ago, I actually saw a little video somebody had posted online, and it was of a woman sharing with her husband that she was pregnant with triplets. They were in the car, and she handed him a folder, and she said, here's a picture of the ultrasound of our baby. And he opened it up, and he said, oh, wow, oh, my goodness. And then he said, baby A? And then he picked it up, and there was a second picture there, and it said, baby B? He was like, oh, my goodness, are we having twins? And she said, well, actually, there's one more. And he flipped it open, and he said, baby C, you got to be kidding me. He was like going crazy with excitement. And then he was like, oh my goodness, I need to sit down. Yeah. You know, God is able to do not just what we want or what we need, not just more than what we want or what we need, but immeasurably more. You see, that was what Zechariah was able to realize that day. That his two greatest disappointments, his two greatest dreams were coming true on that day. Have you ever had one of those days? One of those days that just things happen, things come together, you know, the planets line up, your prayers are answered, your blessings come your way, the heavens open up, and you are just rained down with blessings from God. That was the kind of day that Zechariah experienced. Think about it. You look at this story, his lot was chosen. It was like rolling of dice, and he had never been chosen, and you could only be chosen once. He's at the end of his of the line, and his lot is chosen. His moment came. Can you imagine what he must have felt like as he entered the temple with the incense in hand, making sure of every step, realizing and obviously noticing that he didn't want to step on his garments, he didn't want to trip on the cobblestone, he didn't want to fall on his face. He wanted this to be as special as it could be. And he entered the temple as a priest of the order of Abijah. He entered the holy place. He stood before the altar of incense. He was feet away from the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. And then God did something more. He visited him in the person of the angel. You see, because of this day, God not only made Zechariah's dream come true, he exceeded it. And maybe you're here this morning, and that's what you need. Well, I would suggest to you not to respond to God in doubt. I mean, think about it. Elijah must have many times imagined himself in the holy place. Imagine himself speaking to an angel, talking to God. You see, he needed to realize, and we need to realize, that Ephesians 3:20 doesn't say that God is able to do all we ask or imagine. It says that he's able to do above all we ask and all that we can imagine. Because God loved Zechariah and showed him the full extent of his love. Think about it. Zechariah went in wanting an altar, and he got an angel. He wanted to show his love and devotion to God by burning incense, and God simply talked to him. His two great disappointments were both answered that day. This was one of those abundant days for him. But think about it, he got even more. I mean, the full version of Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or imagine. Not just what we can ask, not just what we can imagine, but exceedingly, abundantly, above that. But you know what? I almost envision Zechariah's encounter here almost like an infomercial on TV. You know, you ever woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep, so you turn on the idiot tube and you see an infomercial. I've actually done this. I've actually seen this. You know, and all of a sudden they're demonstrating a set of knives. And you're like me. You have 72 knives in your kitchen, right? But all of a sudden they get your attention. And then when they say, if you order today, we will not just give you one set of knives, we will give you 8 steak knives free of charge. You're like, oh my goodness, where's my phone? You know, I almost see that here. It's almost like an infomercial, because the angel's like, okay, you're here, you're in the holy place, you're burning incense, but wait, there's more. And the more was going to knock his socks off. Gabriel didn't just say, your wife will bear a son. She said, your wife will bear a son, and his name's going to be John. You think about it, the baby at Christmas, right? And you will call him Emmanuel. He will be called Jesus, because God is with us. But even before that angel spoke, this angel spoke about a baby that was going to be born, and he even said his name. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. He will go before the Messiah in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He is one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. You know, I don't know if you guys do this up here, but this passage always makes more sense to someone in the South. Did you know that? It always makes more sense to people, you know, from my heritage down South, because down South we have this saying, you know, when something really, like, really surprises you, really knocks your socks off, really, you know, you don't know how to respond. You know, my ancestors had this saying, and they'd always say, well, shut my mouth. That's why we understand this better than most. Because that's exactly what the angel did here. He shut Zechariah's mouth. You know, Zechariah shouldn't have expressed doubt. And he was silent for over 9 months. And when did he get his voice back? He got his voice back. And listen, this is another sermon totally about that, and we'll get to that in a few weeks. But he got his voice back when this child came. You see, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the story of Christmas. That's the beginning of the story of Jesus. It's not just the story of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. It begins with the story here of a father named Zechariah, about two people that loved God, two people that had dreams and aspirations, and those dreams and aspirations came true. And they came true at a stage in their life when they, think about this, when they could not take credit for it. Think about that, folks. Sometimes there's things that happen in your life when it can only be God. You can't take credit. You can only give credit. Because it is unbelievable. It's unattainable. It's unimaginable. You can't do it on your own. And when it happens, you just have to simply stand up and say, you know what? That's God. You don't take credit, you give credit to Him. So think about this, folks. What does... Okay, that was the introduction, all right? Here's the point. What does that story mean for me and you today? Here, let me give it to you really simple, and you'll be able to remember this so well. This story teaches us some things about God, and it teaches some things about ourselves, about us. It gives us something to think about concerning God, and it gives us something to think about us. Now, let me remind you of one of the verses that talks about Zechariah and Elizabeth. You think about it. Their greatest hopes, their greatest dreams were not realized until they were along and up in years. But Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, we read it a few minutes ago, but Luke 1, 6 says, both, meaning Zechariah and Elizabeth, both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame, it says, according to all the commands and all the requirements of the Lord. You see, even though their dreams hadn't come true, even though their greatest desires hadn't been realized, they remained faithful. They remained blameless, it says. They continued to keep the commands and the precepts of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show Himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to Him. Here, think about it. Let's think for a minute that God is looking around our assembly this morning. And He starts over here, and He goes and He makes eye contact with everybody that's here. Okay, imagine God doing that. And he makes eye contact with every person seated in this room this morning. And when He does so, those of you that are described by these two verses, that they're righteous in God's sight, living without blame, according to the commands and requirements of the Lord, that the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show Himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to Him. How many of you need to have a strong God, a strong arm of the Lord devoted to you this morning? We all do, right? It's almost as if this verse is saying that God is looking around at all of us this morning and making eye contact with everybody in the room, and there's either a check that pops up above your head, meaning that this is describing you, or that it's absent. You know, I thought it was really cool that, Brother Sam talked to you about the blood above the doorstop. If God looked around this room this morning and there was some indication above all of us that we are described this way, who would show God that? Or maybe more importantly, who would not show God that? Elizabeth, Zechariah were wholeheartedly devoted. So at the perfect time, God showed himself strong to them. You see, folks, here's the thing. Every story in the Bible teaches us something about God and something about ourselves. That's the story of John, of Zechariah, and of Elizabeth. What does this story teach you about God? He is faithful. He is loving. He helps those that remain faithful to Him. He blesses those that don't give up on their dreams and their plans. That's what it tells us about God. But what does it tell us about ourselves? Are we like this? Or do we so easily fall away when things become difficult in life? Listen to this verse in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. He says, "Look, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." That's how important this story is. Because we must demonstrate that we are that kind of person that none understands things about God, that He's faithful, that He's strong, that He's always there for us. But then we have to learn about ourselves and not give up on our dreams. If they're good dreams, if they're God's dreams, and God will either answer them, here's the thing, God will either answer them or He will exceed them. He may answer them, and He may answer them in a way that we never imagined or never dreamed. This is the story of a man's prayers that were answered exceedingly, abundantly, above all he asked or imagined. Now listen, folks. What would happen if that happened to you? Next time your birthday rolls around, I hope that your Heavenly Father just picks you up and sets you up on top of the picnic table with all the gifts all around, and you just go at it. That's a great day. That's a great day for a two-year-old. It's a great day for us as well. And whatever your dreams are, whatever your aspirations are, whatever the things are that you've been bringing to the Lord over and over and over again, it can happen for you if we believe in this story. I mean, think about it. Has it ever happened before or since? I mean, I think about the Apostle Peter. He got more than he asked or imagined. First century little boy. A fisherman that became a fisher of men. An uneducated fisherman who became a rabbi. Great disciple. Largest church in the world is named St. Peter's. Cities all around the world are named after Peter. I mean, the Apostle Paul, what did he want? All he wanted to imagine for himself was that he wanted to be a scholar. And he wrote more books of the Bible than any other author. Therefore, it makes him one of the best-selling authors of all time. Moses, what did he imagine? He imagined that he could lead God's people out of slavery. And he did that. And he took them to the land of from a land of poverty into a land flowing with milk and honey. And he established their law, to which we still adhere to today. Abraham, what did he desire more than anything else? He desired a son. God gave him a nation. Ruth got more than she imagined. She wanted a son. And she wound up becoming the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You can have more than you've ever imagined. You can have a good life. You can get God. He wants to be with you. And He will make your life better than you could ever make it on your own. That's what the Bible calls abundant life. So let's learn about God. Let's learn about ourselves. And let's walk out of this holy place today, knowing that we've encountered our God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what an awesome, awesome story. And God, I pray that we could see ourselves in this story today. That, Lord, we could know that really the story of our Savior began with the story of John, with the visitation, Lord, of the angel Gabriel with him, with Zechariah. And Lord, we've seen what can come out of this. If we understand who you are and what you want to do, and if we understand ourselves and how we need to be faithful to you. So Lord, bless us as we make our commitments right now to you, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one, Lord, that John stepped from the forefront into the background to draw attention to. So Father, may we know that the end of our time today is not about John, not about Zechariah, but about the one, Lord, that they prepared the way for. And Father, may we receive him in the Spirit of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.